Today is July the 18th, 1997, and I am visiting with Dorothy Hood. Dorothy, the first question is, when did you come to Houston, and what was the art climate like? What was going on in the city at that time?
Well, it was as far as, there were three artists that, if I can, Jim Love and...
Eric?
Well, yeah, he was always here, yeah. But then Dick Ray and myself. I mean, these were the artists that, you know, seemed to be together. Then there was another one you can probably remember. I mean, but there were very, very few. I mean, very, very, I mean, the fact is, we had to know each other because we were the only ones we had.
Richard?
Well, yeah, I guess Richard was here too. Yeah,
yeah.
Richard was, certainly was, yeah.
What was the commercial gallery situation like then?
Oh, Jerry McCaggy, she had a place with, we lived, and for a while, right behind them, Catherine Swenson and Jerry McCaggy were great friends, and we came here from Mexico and stayed, three or four months, and then we came back again and stayed longer, and then finally, not until in 65 did we come back for good.
And when you say we, you mean you?
And Velasco, who was my husband.
Well, so did Jerry McCaggy have a gallery?
No, but she was very close to Catherine Swenson, who did have a gallery.
Okay.
And they worked very closely together.
Was Jerry in the museum at that time?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, when you came to Houston then,
she was working with Mrs. Dominique.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jerry McCaggy was with Mrs. Dominique. What was going on at the MFA in 1965?
Well, Ruth Pershing Euler,
right,
was the... She had a big role over there. I mean, she knew everything, every archive, everything that ever happened to the museum. She was the one you went to find out the facts.
Where were the galleries located?
Near
the museum?
No, well, let's think. What gallery?
Well, if Swenson had a gallery.
Yeah, well, that was the...
And then DuBose. Then DuBose had...
Yes.
Probably around that time was coming in, wasn't he, around 65? Oh,
I think he'd already been in.
Had he already started?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I can check on his notes for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... who else was selling? You know, was Pico in business yet then?
Yes, she was. She was. Yeah.
Okay. How about the David Gallery was probably going?
Yes.
How about the woman that ran Louisiana Gallery? You only had probably, how many would you think? Six, five, or six?
Maybe. At the most, yeah.
Well, how did you and Velasco decide to stay in Houston?
Well, I had my family here, for one thing, my mother and my father, and we really wanted to go back to Mexico, and then things started happening. One day, Meredith, I believe it was Ann Holmes, some way or another, got Meredith to come by the studio, and he looked at the work and he said, I want to go to Mexico and see some of your artists and bring some back. And so he went, and he visited in Mexico, and he took some of my friends' work and brought them to exhibit here in Houston. And that's how I knew Meredith. And then he took me on with his very first gallery that he had over by the railway tracks.
So you were with Meredith
From the very beginning, yeah, of his career in art.
Yeah. An ongoing relationship. Let me think a minute. So you just started right in then. Once you got involved with Meredith and
yeah.
with the community,
yeah.
you probably mm-hmm. decided you were just going to stay here.
Well, yes, because things were slim in Mexico. I mean, one could hardly make a living there. It was all beautiful. I mean, he had a nice apartment and so forth. But as far as the practical, it was much more beneficial to stay here.
Right. Well, Dorothy, when you first, your work, since I've known you, and I think I first saw your work probably in 1976, maybe 1975. I came to Houston in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, you were, I mean, I felt you were very well known in the community already. So you've been here 10 years when I first.
Yeah, I suppose so, because since there were so few artists, I would have to think.
Did you all help each other?
That was a sore point with me, because in Mexico, everyone helped each other. I mean, without hesitation, you know, they'd bring people to your studio, other artists would, mm-hmm. and there was, we had galleries which divided into groups, and we had common goals and
right.
everything. And here it was really disorganized. I felt that if there were groups, that I couldn't see what their motive was. I mean, they didn't. They seemed more political than
mm-hmm.
anything.
Did you notice that changing over the years or not?
No.
Stayed political.
Yeah.
How do you, what's your take on the growth or the not, or the no growth of the Museum of Fine Arts?
Well, I think the Museum of Fine Arts has had very variable motives in the art realm. I mean, I think every director has come in with his own agenda, and I think it depends greatly on the director of the museum, how the climate of the art community lives or does not live. I'd say that right on.
I agree with you totally.
Mm-hmm.
Climate of the art community is a reflection.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And the MFA, of course, the contemporary certainly takes a lot of changes all the time.
How do you see the
Manil
in that picture?
Well, I think that they became from the very first an example of excellence, and a lot of people think that they by showing really fine art that they did their duty to the community, and I'm sure that they have. I don't believe that at any time though that they got involved with creativity of the art in Houston.
Of the Houston artists.
Oh, yeah, the Houston scene. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, in such case, a status symbol.
To be involved over there?
To be involved, and, yes, and, yeah.
maybe one thing that they did is in bring in and setting a level of excellence and a sensitivity, at least asking the community and to address those issues.
Mm-hmm.
Without shutting it down.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. They, I mean, it's up to the people's you know, own perception to be able to either you know, see it and embrace it and you know, give it its due and everything.
Uh-huh. How about, were you involved with the, now, of course, it was before you got here, the Contemporary Arts Association,
mm-hmm.
which became CAM.
Mm-hmm.
Were you involved with any of that? Or you, how do you remember that coming around and all of that?
Uh-huh. No, they had a place out out of Maine, I think it was, a little building.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were very close, all of the people who organized it at first, you know. It was a, you know, closely knit endeavor. And I thought it was a very good thing.
Talking about Houston as an art place, how do you see it?
I still see it the way that I first saw it, that you can work at your own pace here, and you can either participate or not. You've got a lot of free choice, and I do think that it, that I haven't seen very much, as you said before, I mean, I haven't really seen any, unless I'm just being prejudiced, any impulse towards local pride and wanting to push art from Houston in other places. I really have seen very little of that. I mean, self-assurance in knowing that they have good talent here. Real self-assurance. I mean, where groups will get together, groups of artists, and you know, really being proud of on a high level. A lot of people, a lot of dealers, the locals are sort of a token, and they're real, of course, their real interest is very expensive, either old masters or contemporary from New York. Lack of self-assurance or lack of adventuresomeness among the collectors to a certain extent. There's a lot of freedom now in Houston. I mean, that's what I like about it.
I remember when I came here, I was impressed that Houston, at that time, of course, we were just in the boom time, but it you had the sense that you could do and be anything you wanted to do and be anything.
Yep, you could. Uh-huh.
Even socially, except at a certain level, but you weren't put in a box because your grandmother wasn't from here, or your grandfather wasn't from here, or whatever. There was a refreshing, basic openness.
Uh-huh.
That I don't think you find in too many other cities.
Oh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Maybe you do, but I have a sense that, like, in San Francisco or in Boston and Philadelphia and Atlanta, there's structure. Well, how have you felt about your work over the 30 years that you've been?
Well, I think it's given me a great chance. I think the first thing that an artist should think is not whether you'll be successful or anything like that. You have to think of the creative first. I mean, if I can do well here and I have freedom to do well, that's about the best thing that can be offered. And you know, without too many restraints, and it's comfortable.
So you felt comfortable with the work?
Oh, no, never. No. Comfortable to be here.
To be here.
Yeah.
Do you have any funny stories about collectors or people over the years that you've become friendly with or that have had? When did your work first go into the museum? Do you remember?
Now, that's just going to take a minute to think about this. Oh, Sweeney.
How was the time here, do you remember, under Sweeney?
Great. I mean, he never did anything for the artists, except that he gave them this wonderful freedom, and you felt like if any big social blow would come upon you or something would be a big misunderstanding between you and the community and the art community, that you were safe with Sweeney being here because he was such a pro. He wouldn't be punished for something you really didn't do.
And what was it like with the Mardella?
Great. Marvelous. A lot of people didn't feel that way, but he was so snide, and he was such a apparent snob, and we got along fine. He helped me a lot. So.
How did he help you?
Well, I mean, he came to the studio, you know, a lot, and he was a big encourager. But he was always making fun of me and goading me, you know, goading me on. Marcio has been here a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, not lately.
Well, what else can you, looking back with your work here in Houston, can you think? Do you think about, were there any artists that you were particularly close to?
Well, you know, I used to see, next door to us lived Dick Ray. He lived with us, and we all had a virtual fights going on in the, on the back driveway. Go in the house, and Jim Love would come in, and then they would assume this hierarchical attitude, you know, and you're just new here, and they didn't know what was waiting for them, you know, I was coming up.
Well, what was Velasco doing then? Was he working?
He was composing, and he wasn't conducting, and he had entered his passive phase, which was very hard on me. When we were in Latin America, he earned a living, and when we were here, it changed because he just could not keep up with the pace, how it was too rapid for him. So I became the kind of boss at that time.
Well, you've got your work in, what, 30 museums or more?
Yes, I suppose it's still there unless they, you know, changed out on, you know, they do move museum to museum sometimes.
Tell me about when you were awarded the honorary PhD at Rizzi.
That was one of the nicest experiences of my life, I think. I never expected it, and I never knew that they had followed me or my work. And this thing came, and I went, and, you know, and there were many French directors there, and, you know, it was a nice feeling. You know, so I've kept, it's a history of art in Houston, my scrapbooks, and I kept them from the first.
We could do that. How many do you have?
Maybe nine or ten.
Well, we could do
maybe.
Cool.
We're going to look at the scrapbooks now.
The Proteo Gallery was a splinter organization of artists, Tamayo, Cuevas, and people who wanted to be independent thinkers and were not as proletariat. At least in their work, as the original to my, you know, to Mayo, of course, and Diego and others.
Free thinkers and the ability to do so.
Yeah.
I want to read you this, because you probably haven't read this in a while and you'll get a kick out of it.
Dorothy, you've just talked about when you coming to Houston from an all the international contacts, and coming to Houston, it was almost as if there was a new set of values, and you had to survive. You said you had to toe the mark. How? And then earlier we were talking about the freedom in Houston that you feel. So how do you the mental freedom then?
The mental freedom in Houston, because you had to work alone. I mean, you had to think alone, and of course you could set up your own values, I mean, it was great for art. I mean, because you could be anything. You know, you could do an art that you really, really didn't have to fit into anything. I mean, you know, I mean, abstract expressionist, or so you could, didn't matter if you didn't do it,
Your style could open.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And in that way, it was very, very creative.
But in this other way of towing the mark, what do you mean? You said, you know, to survive, you had to kind of toe the mark.
Oh,
getting
where?
Back to this kind of stuff.
Oh, you mean in Houston? Well, I mean, you really had to, with men it didn't matter, but with women, you know, you needed to be sure that you came across as a proper person. Which I came back, you know, determined that I wasn't going to do anything eccentric and that I was going to honor their values, you know, which I did.
Were you tempted to do something eccentric on occasion?
Absolutely.
I figured so. But that really didn't get in the way of your work.
No,
because you had freedom to be what you were.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah. But I think it made me pretty much of a loner. I mean, I felt like a loner. May have been good. Now, of course, then I had Velasco as companion, and it didn't, we were okay. He was there. Every day. All day.